The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey, folks, welcome to what we like to call Thursday on the Eric Metaxas Show. Albin, do you also call it Thursday in your house?
I do, and it's nice and snowy here where I'm living.
It's snowing outside right now. And the new mayor of New York has decided to remove the snow tax. De Blasio, the communist, every time it snowed, he would tax us a dime an inch. Really tough, crazy. Okay, we've got a super exciting guest coming up. So I want to, the headline is that in a few minutes, I'm going to be interviewing James O'Keefe. James O'Keefe heads up Project Veritas. He is one of this handful of truth tellers and heroes at our time. Things are so bad in America that certain people have emerged as heroes, as willing to take the slings and arrows of cancel culture and be willing to just speak the truth. And James O'Keefe is one of those handful of people. Naomi Wolf is another. We had her earlier. Was it this week? It was this week.
Yeah, it was this week. Yeah.
Amazing. Another one is Laura Logan, whom we have not had on the program, but we will have her on the program. I was just watching her on another program. And these folks are speaking up about what is happening. And the really important thing is to understand that other people aren't speaking up. And that's what makes people like James O'Keefe and Laura Logan and Tucker Carlson and any others. I mean, there's a number, but it makes them stand out because the viciousness of those who go after them, it tells you everything you need to know. In other words, if you want to know, gee, I wonder if this person is speaking the truth, or maybe they're just blowing smoke to get attention. The way people go after them, the way Anthony Fauci went after Laura Logan, the way they have gone after James O'Keefe, the way they go after David DeLeiden, the way, to some extent, they've gone after me in this program, canceling us so that we're not even on YouTube, which is a gigantically strange thing to do for a program like this. But it tells you that, yeah, you're not crazy. There are people who want to silence the truth. They're scared to death. And they're so scared that they're pulling out all the stops. They are just crushing dissent any way they can. And I want to say that by the grace of God, those of us who can stand and continue to speak will do so. And what else would you do? We always talk about, our heroes, Bonhoeffer and William Wilberforce and all these great people that stood up and they weren't intimidated, even with the threat of death in many cases. Yeah. Jan Hus and Wycliffe and Tyndale and how many heroes in the early church. They face death. We think of Nathan Hale at 21 being hanged by the British for believing in freedom, for wanting to serve George Washington and the cause of liberty. Folks, for good or for ill, here we are. We're living in similar times where what we do and what we say matters in a way that we couldn't have dreamt of 15 or 20 years ago. But here we are. So the question is, what will you do today, every day? So that's
we've had kind of an easy ride up until now, I gotta tell you, and now it's time to pay the bus driver.
Well, that's exactly right. So in a couple of minutes, we've got James O'Keefe coming up. Very exciting. He has a book out finally. I'm so glad he's published a book. People need to be able to know what it is that he's been doing. Tomorrow we have Dr. Vladimir Zelenko. Hey, you want to get depressed? Watch my interview tomorrow with Vladimir Zelenko.
Yeah, Mr. Sunshine.
Yes, oh, yes. Boy. He's known in the business as Mr. Sunshine, Rabbi Sunshine. In hour two, we're going to pretend that we're not living in these dark times, and we're going to have some fun, some real fun with Mrs. Sunshine, Victoria Jackson.
Yeah,
my interview with her, we taped it yesterday.
Yeah.
I think you're going to want to have a notepad out to kind of track, because it was about the most confusing conversation I've ever had. And I've had a few confusing conversations. Victoria is a friend. She's so delightful. But that's tomorrow. It was just a lot of fun, but you have to listen carefully, to my, to my annotations, as we go through the conversation. You have to listen carefully for that. Yeah. So that's tomorrow. Now, Alvin,
yes, sir.
There's a couple of things we should cover before we go to James O'Keefe. We want to say Miracle Monday.
Oh, yeah.
J.P. Moreland. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the greatest philosophers in America. J.P. Moreland, distinguished professor of philosophy at Talbot in California. He's a really big deal. And he's written a book about miracles. When a guy like that writes a book about miracles, you really want to pay attention.
Can I say off camera, he was just praising you up one side and down the other. He likes you.
Hearing that kind of an encouraging sentiment from someone like him is stunning to me. I was thrilled. I wouldn't have expected that he was aware of me, but he said really kind things. I want to say, this weekend I'm speaking at a church. It's called The Road in Chapel Hill, which is basically Colorado Springs. So this weekend, Sunday morning, I'm speaking at both services in Colorado Springs, Chapel Hill. I'll be signing books. So if you can get there, I'd love to meet you and sign a book or books or whatever, take a picture, whatever people want to do. It's such a blessing for me. People don't understand what a blessing is to meet people that have appreciated my books or whatever. It means a lot to me. So thank you. Whenever you do show up, if you can show up for doing that, waiting in line. I want to say again, I think we mentioned this yesterday. Speaking of heroes, Mike Lindell, okay. The Minnesota Bank and Trust, which is a division of Heartland Financial. I just want to be clear. If you've read my Bonhoeffer book, you see how they marginalized the Jews, how they did it step by step. They don't come out of the woods and say, hey, I'm serving the devil, let me kill you. No. They say, we have reasons, because we want to protect the German people from the harmful Jews. We know that the Jews caused us to lose World War I, and we're just trying to keep things racially pure. And so we're going to enact laws, but we're going to do it one little law at a time. We're just going to shut things down for 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And you can go along with that, can't you? So just go along with that. And if 2 weeks turns into 2 months, turns into 2 years, you know what? We weren't going to tell you that up front, even though we might have known. And by the way, don't forget to get your 59th booster shot, because we want to track you. So much crazy stuff is happening out there that when they did this to Mike Lindell, I thought, this is next level, because this is a bank saying, we will not let you bank with us.
Yeah.
We hate you so much that we're going to do that. So this is Minnesota Bank and Trust, a division of Heartland Financial. We'll follow up on this with Mike himself, but yeah, I just want you to track. This is ugly, folks. Yeah. This is very, very ugly. By the way, we should remind you, go to mypillow.com and mystore.com. Use the code Eric. Please do that. And Alvin, we should also talk about shopmetaxas.com. These are too many emails, too many things for people to remember. But shopmetaxas.com, you can see it at our radio website, metaxastalk.com, right? Because my website is ericmetaxas.com. The radio website is metaxastalk.com. They are listing my two books, Fish Out of Water and Is Atheism Dead? Hardcover books, gorgeous books, expensive books. You can get both books for $34.99. Both books are autographed. Trust me when I tell you, that is an amazing deal. I don't know how they're doing this or if I make a dime on this, but if you go to Metaxastalk.com. You can get autographed copies of both books. I wish they'd done this before Christmas for $34.99. We're just about out of time, Albin.
Yes, sir.
Oh, final statement. Ladies and gentlemen, definitely go to my website, ericmetaxas.com. Definitely sign up for the newsletter. Please tell your friends, sign up your friends, because we have so many amazing interviews and we want to get to all of them. Okay, we're out of time. We'll be right back. Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works.
Look out. It comes tomorrow. That's when I have
folks, as promised, I'm very excited, finally, to get someone whom I have admired for a long time, a young man named James O'Keefe. You may know him from Project Veritas, extraordinary citizen journalism. James O'Keefe, my friend, a joy to see you and to have you on the program. And congratulations on the book, American Muckraker.
Thank you, Eric. I'm excited to talk to you about philosophy and ethics and all these themes that are inherent in this.
All that highbrow garbage. I can't, don't you know I've moved on? I became a Trump supporter. I kicked all that intellectual, gravity to the curb. Now I'm just a man of the people.
Touché.
In all seriousness, we have a lot to talk about, but I want for people tuning into this program who maybe haven't followed you, you haven't published a book before, so I'm excited because I want people to know you and I want people to buy your book. It's called American Muckraker, tongue in cheek. But just tell us a little bit about yourself for people who aren't familiar with James O'Keefe.
Well, I haven't published a book like this before. I am a journalist. I've been doing this for about almost 18, 19 years since I was in college. And I run an organization called Project Veritas, Latin for Truth. And we go undercover. We expose what's going on. We believe that the media is broken. And I think what motivates people like me and the people I work with is a sense of justice. Maybe you could call it a justice complex, that things out there are not what they seem and rarely as they ought to be. And reality is not really described accurately by journalists. In fact, media organizations seem to be in harmony with the people they're supposed to be investigating, as evidenced by this recent thing that happened with me with the FBI and the New York Times and Pfizer Pharmaceutical. So we the outsiders, need to do something about it. Our tagline is Be Brave, Do Something. We do a combination of undercover work and whistleblowing, take people from the inside and give them cameras to expose what's going on. Most recently, last week, we did a story on DARPA. The Defense Department had documents, literally Pentagon papers, showing that Anthony Fauci may have lied under oath. So this is what we do. We've been doing it for a while. And this book is about the struggle, the sacrifice, the ethics, the privacy, the deception, everything inherent in this form of journalism, which used to happen 150 years ago. And now it seems to have gone the way of the dinosaurs.
Well, there's a lot to talk about. I want to talk about Pfizer and the New York Times, the recent stuff. But I want to go back just in case people go, oh, yeah, I didn't know it was that guy.
Right.
You, sir, with another friend of mine, she was dressed as a prostitute. You were dressed as her pimp.
Right,
and
right.
The whole thing was to do undercover journalism. You and Project Veritas brought down one of the most corrupt organizations in America called Acorn. Please tell us about that, because a lot of people will suddenly remember who you are. You were the dude in the Huggy Bear fur right. coat pretending to be a pimp. I mean, the whole thing seems so funny to me, but it actually worked, and you uncovered the truth.
Yeah, that was my grandmother's chinchilla fur. I was kind of dialed. This is a true story. Much of what I see on the program, your audience will be like, I don't believe it. That's the
No, I know this is true. That's why I said I want to start with this, because this is the greatest thing. This is one of the reasons I love you, is because you did this. So go ahead.
Truth is stranger than fiction, okay? So I am telling the truth. My colleague, 20-year-old Hannah Giles, sent me a message on Facebook in June of 2009. I was then 24. And she said, have you ever thought about going into ACORN? ACORN was the Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now. She said, go in there, sort of like a secret shopper, you know, sting operation. And ACORN was getting all this money from the government. They were allocated $5 billion in stimulus money then in 2009. So we said, go in there and say we want to start an illicit prostitution business and see how they respond.
Now, which of the Giles girls was this?
This was Hannah Giles.
Hannah. Okay. And she's the older. I know her dad. He's been on this program many times. He's another hero, Doug Giles. But so his daughter goes with you.
Yeah.
And I mean,
we were, this is so unbelievable that you won't, I will tell you this story and you won't believe me. We didn't have any money. Veritas was in its inception phase. It was literally a YouTube account. And this 20-year-old girl and then me 24, I'd never met her before. She sent me a message on Facebook. She admired what the work I did with Lila Rose, another, you know, undercover person with me at Planned Parenthood.
Right.
And she said, what if you went in there? So she showed up in this sarong, scantily clad. I did not accouter her. And she was wearing this Miami Beach sort of hooker getup. And we go to Baltimore, one of the worst parts of Baltimore. And I say that she's my hooker. And then we have underage El Salvadorian sex slaves. I'm saying this to the ACORN officials. They do not know they're being recorded. My hidden camera is in a satin tie. And they proceed to tell me how to disguise the underage El Salvadorian sex slaves as dependents on our tax returns. They're giving me this sort of tax advice. And the whole time they're doing this, I'm just making sure the camera's still recording. And we do this, and we had no money. I mean, I was so broke that I took the Chesapeake Bay Bridge instead of I-95 to save $4. That's how broke I was. And we do this story, and we go around the country, driving up and down the eastern seaboard, New York, Brooklyn, Baltimore, D.C. And then we release these tapes on the internet. This is in 2009 on YouTube. And Congress, within 1 week, the House and Senate, democratically controlled, votes to defund ACORN 83-7 as a result of this work. It was an amazing series of events. And the powers that be, the Washington Post, who are the right-wing billionaires funding? No, there were no right-wing billionaires. It was just two kids from the cast.
And of course, why would it make a difference if right-wing billionaires funded this? The point is, you are uncovering, I mean, corruption is a nice word. This is satanic. This is people funded by the United States taxpayer who are trying to help you use underage prostitutes to make money from underage prostitution. U.S. taxpayer money was involved in this. So the left wing, instead of being angry about that, they just try to come after you. Look, Hannah Giles, she's the daughter, as I said, of Doug Giles, a pastor. He trained his daughters to want to get the truth out. So she had the guts to dress like this, to go to, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
I mean, not everybody's called to do that. But you and she did something monumental, James, to save the American taxpayer from giving money to something utterly wicked. It's like giving money to the slave trade. It's like giving money to abort children. The problem, of course, and it's why I want you on the program, is because this is what journalists used to do, but they've ceased to do it. The New York Times, the Washington Post, these former paragons of journalism, they have sold their souls to the devil. They have said, we don't care about the truth. We're following a different kind of truth. And so not only don't they do the work, but when folks like you do the work, they demonize you. They can't bear the fact that you're making them look bad. I think that's a big part of it.
Oh, yeah. That's what this book, American Muckraker, is all about. There is so much to unpack here, but you're right. There's always been this tension in journalism between access and autonomy. In other words, journalists have to have sources in these institutions, but they often get too cozy with those sources. They They, rather than condemning them and exposing them, they extol them, and they speak the high praises of the high and mighty. So I find with undercover work, with hidden camera work, with whistleblowing, you're not so conflicted. And then there becomes questions about deception and privacy. But when it comes to deception, that is to say, yes, I presented myself as a pimp to the Acorn workers. I lied to them. And some would say, well, how could you lie? Well, I say it's a question of relative deception. Because if I say, hi, I'm a journalist. Please tell me all the fraud you're going. They're never going to tell me that. And if I'm just relaying to the millions of people what these people are saying to me on the record, I'm often lying to the audience. So it becomes a question of relative deception. And there are a number of ethicists in the 20th century that said it's a better option to deceive the subject in order to tell the truth to the audience. And these are the sorts of things that have corrupted journalism. The power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And when there's so few newspapers now, Washington Post, New York Times, perhaps have an oligarchy, if you will. They're the only journalists. And you have national security reporters at the New York Times collaborating with, working with the FBI. I mean, that's just wrong. And they should.
Listen, I just want to say for people who are tracking, there have always been misguided, theologically fussy Christians who don't understand what the Bible says. And so what they do is they retreat to a safe theological position that says any kind of lie is wrong. That's not quite right, folks. If you read scripture, there are plenty of cases from scripture. But who fought this battle? My hero, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I just happen to have his picture right here. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book Ethics, and of course I write about this in my own book on Bonhoeffer, he dealt with this. He explained, and it's kind of pathetic that you have to explain this, but I know you talk about it in your book, American Muckraker. What is the difference between a justified lie, which is hardly a lie, and an actual lie? When we come back, folks, we're talking to the author of a new book. I hope you'll get a copy, American Muckraker, the author, James O'Keefe. In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com.
Take a look at my girlfriend. She's the only one I got.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show in hour two today. We do our segment every Thursday, Ask Metaxas. You ask me questions, I try to answer. Right now, we're talking to James O'Keefe, author of a brand new book. I hope you get a copy. It's called American Muckraker, tongue in cheek. It's about rethinking journalism. It's important. But James, let's talk about the Pfizer New York Times, the very recent news that you were involved with.
Well, I mean, the documents came out literally last night showing that the New York Times is talking to Pfizer Pharmaceutical about, I'm sorry, the FBI is talking to Pfizer Pharmaceutical about Project Veritas. Why are there communications that exist? It's very rare for the FBI to acknowledge in a FOIA request that information does exist, and it does exist. The CEO of Pfizer said a few months ago that he's been talking to the FBI and the CIA about what he called disinformation. Now, he was clearly referencing Project Veritas when he said dark groups, which is ironic because I think the dark money groups are the people that donate to CNN on the commercial break. This program brought to you by Pfizer. This program brought to you by Pfizer. This program brought to you by Pfizer. I don't have such ulterior motives and conflicts, commercial imperatives. But this comes on the heels of two videos we did in September and October of this past year, where we exposed a Pfizer senior director, Vanessa Gelman was her name. And there were emails from Vanessa Gelman saying she was trying to hide, conceal from the American people that they used fetal cell tissue in the development of their vaccine. Why she was trying to hide that is the real question. And second, another video from a whistleblower named Melissa in the Midwest. And Melissa had released these documents. A scientist within Pfizer was caught on tape saying that antibodies are more effective than their own vaccine. So these are statements not I made. I didn't make these claims. I am reporting what people inside Pfizer are saying, and somehow the FBI gets involved with Pfizer and is talking about journalism and journalists, which is very scary. Again, upside down clown world dystopia that we're living in. And rather than investigate that, the New York Times investigates me. So it's really not surprising, but I think it's important. I broke all that down in this book and talk about why it's gotten so bad.
Well, it's important that anybody who wants a career in journalism would read your book, because we're living in crazy times. And I think most people don't want to acknowledge that, because let's be honest, it's painful. If you can cling to some tendril of hope that this is all just a momentary blip, an anomaly, and it's all going to go away. But I'm here to declare, folks, the Ivy League is dead. The New York Times is dead. The Washington Post is dead. The FDA, the deep state, these, whatever we once believed, we now know that over time, many of these people have sold their souls to the devil, whether that's metaphorical or not, I leave to you. But we have to understand this is the new reality in which we're living, and we have to support actual journalists like you, James O'Keefe, because if we don't, we deserve what we get. We will live in a culturally Marxist dystopia. The other day, or maybe it's a couple of weeks ago, actually, I'm sorry, it's a couple of months ago now, Lara Logan referred to Dr. Fauci as equivalent to Dr. Mengele. She did that on Fox News. She hasn't been asked back on Fox News, but this is someone like you who is an actual journalist. She's done her homework. She's scandalized about what she sees. And the response is, shut up. We don't want to hear this from you. So what you're saying about Fauci and about Pfizer, and say this is mild compared to what she said. But anytime anything comes out like this, the big money seems to simply want to crush you.
Yes. And again, regarding this Pfizer stuff, these were not my statements. The whole thing about journalism is that I don't ask you to trust me. They ask you to trust them by virtue of the fact that they just describe themselves as credible journalists by virtue of their own decree that they are indeed credible. So it's a self-anointed racket. Thing about using anonymous sources is that every time you use one, you rely upon your own credibility. You don't present evidence. You say, believe us because we say so. And that's been corrupted. They've withdrawn from that ATM too many times, and now they're in arrears. So the thing about real journalism is showing you the evidence. So your own eyes and ears can. And Lara Logan, I love Lara. She's a friend of mine. And she's very profound, the things that she says. And one of the things I quoted her in this book effectively saying is they do have tremendous power. But that's in part because we give it to them.
That's correct.
I mean, think of it. All the people that are watching this, you probably have a Twitter account. I'm assuming many of you do. And there still is the fear inside each of us. Well, they might take my Twitter account away. They might take my Instagram away. So that fear, that little piece of you that says, well, maybe I'm not going to share that thing because I might get banned. That's a slippery slope that you're trying to climb. Because if you look at history, my favorite example is Alexander Solzhenitsyn, which I quote in this book, the Samizdat, which was the free press in the Soviet Union, the citizen press in the Soviet Union. Those people felt the same way you do. And that do you really want to live in a world where you don't tell the truth because you want to maintain your Instagram account? You don't want to lose your Twitter account? That's a slippery slope. And the moment you stop caring about that is the moment you're actually free. And we damn the torpedoes. We say, okay, you want to ban us? Go ahead. You know what? I am banned on Twitter. The story last week was the number one trending story on Twitter, Eric, even though we were banned on Twitter.
It's just amazing. folks, if you're holding back, if you're being silent, I'm here to tell you, you've become part of the problem. Do you hate things around you? Well, you can blame yourself until you're willing to speak up, stand up, use wisdom, but you better speak up now. Because if we all speak up, this problem will get solved. We'll be right back talking to James O'Keefe. The book is American Muckraker.
Folks, Eric Metaxas here. Somebody just handed me a piece of paper with insane information on it. But I know it's true because the other day I literally got a phone call from Mike Lindell telling me, Eric, you got to check out. And then he tells me about this towel special, right? And he says, you got to tell your audience. You got to. Okay, so here's the special. $39.99 if you use the code ERIC. Normally $109.99. We're talking about the towels that work. We've talked about this before. It's a technology where the towels actually do the job of being absorbent and, you know that whole thing. So they're amazing towels, but you can get a set of six towels for $39.99. You have to use the code ERIC. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the new radio listener specials, and or you can call 800-978-3057, 800-978-3057. Use the code ERIC.
I'm talking to James O'Keefe, actual journalist. You didn't think that they existed anymore. There are a few. We were just talking about Laura Logan, and now we're talking to James O'Keefe, actually talking to James O'Keefe, actual journalist who has a book out called American Muckraker. James, we have to have you back next week and the following weeks because there's a lot to unpack here. But let's just go back to what you said. You quoted Solzhenitsyn. I quote Solzhenitsyn on the first page of my new book, Is Atheism Dead? Solzhenitsyn is a prophetic figure. He lived through what we unfortunately are tasting to some extent right now. And he paid a tremendous price being in the Gulag. Of course, he wrote the book, The Gulag Archipelago. It's interesting to me that we in America could even be living through this so that if you buy a copy of the New York Times, you're helping feed the beast that is trying to crush you.
Well, I mean, the New York Times' motto, Eric, was without fear or favor. That was from 1896. Adolf Ox was the publisher. Solzhenitsyn says, the man who ceases to be afraid of threats and who is no longer chasing after rewards becomes the most dangerous man in the world. One of my favorite quotes from Solzhenitsyn, he's effectively saying operate without fear or favor, right? They're very similar statements. So this whole chapter in this book, American Muckraker, I break down this issue of character. What type of person does it take to tell the truth? What type of person does it take to do journalism? And I read the Gulag Archipelago and I read the book called Samizdat, which is about these accounts of these people that we think we live in difficult times. How about the Soviet Union, right? And by the way, there's not a lot of video or imagery from the Soviet Union. There's not a lot of movies made about gulags. I can't really think of any, can you? So you think about what's required, and what's required is this sort of curiosity where you're not really political. People think of me as a political figure, but politics is how I feel about political figures is they wish ill upon their enemies. And that's not really what this is about. So you have to be insatiably curious. You have to be driven. You have to be not willing to be bribed. You have to be not willing to get too cozy with people. You have to bite the hand that feeds you. And I admire Solzhenitsyn. In fact, there's another part of this book where I talk about this idea of without fear or favor to survive at any price. Solzhenitsyn says in Gulag Archipelago that society became corrupted because people were willing to survive no matter what. They were willing to, in order to not lose their homes and et cetera, et cetera. And I think that we're there. I think that, as Laura Logan has said to me, that we're outside the gates of the proverbial Auschwitz. The only way of us prevented from being entering that is we, the people. And I tell these whistleblowers who come to me, they got pensions, they got mortgages, they got families, but they're willing to give that up for the public's right to know, to follow your conscience, even if it means to give up your livelihood, or to not follow your conscience. And then you have a guilty conscience. It's hard to live with yourself.
Look, I know you're a Christian. I'm a Christian. We are supposed to. This gets to the issue again of Bonhoeffer. And if you're actually somebody who believes in the God in whom you claim to believe, God expects you to live that way. He expects you to fear him and to fear not telling the truth, not to fear telling the truth, to fear not telling the truth. And he also expects you to have faith that he has your back, that if you do the right thing, if you do what he requires of you, he will take care of you financially, whatever it is. The point is that you're not supposed to worry about that. You're supposed to worry about doing the right thing. And I think, James, we're living at a time where many of us have been able to kind of, you know, play both sides, not stick our necks out. But right now we're living at a time in America, in the West, where we're being forced to choose. And there's a healthy kind of sifting going on where people are being forced to say, well, do I want to speak the truth? Do I want to help people who are speak the truth? Or do I want to just go along to get along? And I'm here to warn those people. God will judge you. Solzhenitsyn gave a speech at Harvard in 1978. He effectively, prophetically spoke about these kinds of things happening in the West. And people didn't want to hear what he had to say. After that, he was pretty much persona non grata in the West because he spoke to the West what he had been speaking in Russia. So we're living in, I see it as we're living in very exciting times.
Well, Solzhenitsyn said in that Harvard address in 1978 that the press has more power than all three branches of government. And I actually agree with that. People say, well, what about the First Amendment? I say, well, the press has an important responsibility to hold itself accountable because nobody else can hold it to account. And when the press starts working in concert with the FBI, within minutes of my home being raided in November, I got a text message from a New York Times national security reporter, Mike Schmidt, who somehow knew the contents of a secret grand jury subpoena. That's what Solzhenitsyn warned about. And I think you're right.
Wait a minute. Your home was raided in November?
Yeah, Westchester, Mamaroneck, New York. The FBI agents came to my apartment and took my phones because a source had transmitted to me Joe Biden's daughter's diary a year ago. And they had had a search warrant which listed crimes which I either committed or someone I know committed. I have yet to be charged with any such crimes. But the crimes included accessory after the fact and misprison of a felony. These are absurd crimes, like bystanders laws and documents transmitted to journalists. If they make it illegal for a source to send me something, then they might as well jail all the journalists and newsrooms at the Washington Post and the New York Times. Lack of equality before the law. The U.S. attorneys, Eric, in the Southern District of New York, that's Manhattan, federal court, the U.S. attorneys argued before the judge that I'm not a journalist. And their rationale was, Your Honor, James O'Keefe does not get permission from the people he reports on. This is an illogical, absurd argument that was denied by the judge. The federal judge denied that. But even the fact that we have our prosecutors making such arguments should really give us pause. This is a Rubicon we've never crossed before in American history. Now they're putting journalists in handcuffs and trying to jail them because they ask questions and report on things the powers that be don't want them to report on. This is what Solzhenitsyn talked about in the Gulag Archipelago. And do we want to live in that world? I don't want to live in that world. I think the most poignant part of the Gulag Archipelago was Solzhenitsyn describing the hunger strikes in the gulags. And he described the betrayal of the man who ate the bread was far worse than the starvation that he felt. So I think people need to grow a pair, and Christians need to pray, but they also need to act, because faith without works is nothing.
Listen, this is where we are in the culture. People are being asked by God to live out their faith. If you don't live out your faith, if you try to spiritualize it and say, well, I pray, well, it's good that you pray, but you better do everything God asks you to do. You better speak the truth. We'll be right back talking to James O'Keefe. The book is American Muckraker. Black. Why you never see bright colors on my back? And why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Folks, I'm talking to James O'Keefe. The new book is American Muckraker. Congratulations on the book, James. It's important that people understand who you are and where you're coming from, and that you're fighting for them whether they know you or not, but they should know you, and they should help support you by buying the book or doing what they can.
Thank you, Eric. It's a good read. It took me 5 years to write this book. It's got almost 700, 800 footnotes in it. And I really tried to really get into all the research about ethics and deception and privacy, this issue of privacy. Twitter recently has a policy now that you can't post a video that's a non-consensual recording, which is an absurd argument if you think about it, because we believe the video camera, the hidden camera, is an extension of the pencil and paper. It's a more accurate depiction of a conversation that you're having with someone. So these are really nuanced issues, and we've never lost a lawsuit. There's another chapter in this book called Litigation. It talks about the discovery process of a lawsuit. We sued the New York Times for defamation, got past motion to dismiss this past year, and the New York Times admitted in court they got the facts wrong, but they still would not correct the article. So oftentimes you have this dynamic where they are afraid of discovery. They are afraid of transparency. We, the people, do have to behave so ethically that we have to behave like we're always being watched, and that's our cross to bear, and that is our responsibility. This book talks about that as well.
We've seen this movie over and over. We've seen this in actual movies where all the other side has is the power of the lie to be able to make you think twice about doing the right thing, to try to sow doubt in your mind. And we always have to battle that. We have to say, will I do the right thing? I am convinced, James, that what is happening now in this country is making a lot of people wake up who are, for the first time in their lives, speaking the truth, thinking more carefully about what's going on. I think we're going to have revival in America, because when you solve for X, you realize God is the only answer. Living a life of virtue, in fear of God, in obedience to God, for the sake of this great nation, it's really the only answer to the madness in which we find ourselves swimming at this point.
Well, courage is the virtue that sustains all others, that really can solve so many of these problems. I think courage is contagious. I cannot philosophize or convince people to not be afraid. The only way I've found in my life and the people I work with is that only people will follow someone else's lead. So when Richard Hopkins records Russell Strasser, or Eric Cochran exposes Pinterest, these are whistleblowers, they get other people to do it. People will only do it if they watch someone else doing it. They follow a leader. I can't convince you to have courage. But what I can tell you is there are good people in the government. We have sources inside the Justice Department. We had a person come to us, I can't tell you who it is, that gave us these documents inside the Department of Defense. So there are good people inside, many more than you think, actually. And there's going to be a mass movement of these truth tellers, and it's going to require suffering. But suffering and sacrifice is not a bad thing. Bring you closer to God. It makes you a more lucid version.
And look, let's be clear. There's good suffering and bad suffering. Either way, you're going to suffer, okay?
Yeah.
If you don't do the right thing, you're just going to suffer over a longer period of time, and there's going to be no meaning and misery and despair. Or you can do the right thing, and there's such joy in doing the right thing. We're pretty much out of time. James, we want to get you back as soon as possible. Where can people find you on social media?
Well, anywhere but Twitter, because we're banned on Twitter because we quoted a CNN person. I don't know why they banned me for quoting somebody.
We will put this video, of course, on Twitter.
Yeah, you can find us anywhere. It's James O'Keefe, III is my username on Instagram and Facebook. But please do pick up a copy of American Muckraker. All proceeds go to our nonprofit organization, pay our journalists' salaries, and spread the message. And stay tuned, because I will be in studio with Eric at some point in February, and we'll talk more about this.
We will do this. Just thrilled to get the conversation started. God bless you. To be continued.
Thank you.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn. deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.